You know, I did. I'm going to defend myself. I did get all that out of Scripture. So you get Matt David, right? I had an interesting. Oh, turn to John 13 if you want to get to John 13. That's our text this morning. It's our text this morning. I had lunch with a friend of mine on Friday, David McCauley. He's a good friend of mine. If we bowled together or not, he would still be a good friend of mine. And I was telling David about my lesson, and I was telling him some of the things I was going to talk about. And he says, well, I want to add one to you, to what you're saying, because I found some classified ads in city newspapers. And it was just, you know, they wrote this ad, and they didn't write their words exactly the way they wanted to. And so they come out kind of funny. But he added one, which I thought was quite hilarious. He used to have this huge 150-gallon aquarium. And he said, you know, he had written the ad out, and with it he said, and it includes coral. Well, when they put the ad out, it said everything that it said in it, and instead of writing coral, it said quarrel. It includes quarrel with it. And so he said, you know, who wants to buy that? There's so much quarreling going on, you know, in your household. But anyway, you'll understand here in a second. This one, actual classified advertisements. Are you illiterate? Write today for help. Yes. One of those where you go, wait a minute, if they're illiterate. Alteration shop. We don't tear your clothing with machinery. We do it carefully by hand. So, you know, they don't let the machinery tear it. They do it carefully by hand. This one was cute. It says, we will oil your sewing machine and adjust tension in your home for $1. So if you have any tension in your home, $1, right? I thought this one was cute. Auto repair service. Try us once. You'll never go anywhere else again. Your car will never drive again. Okay. This is my favorite. Stock up and save. Limit one per customer. You cannot have any more. Enough for you. Girl wanted to assist magician in cutting off head illusion. Good salary with Blue Cross and Blue Shield insurance. Right? Got to have that if your head's going to get chopped off. In the looking for work section, it says, man, honest, will take anything. Will take anything. He's honest. Yeah, well, you'll get... Well, maybe that's not as funny as I thought. Used cars. Used cars. Why go anywhere else to be cheated? Come here first. We will cheat you here, right? Kind of a deal. And then my favorite was, man wanted to work in dynamite factory. Must be willing to travel. Yes. I don't know how far you want to go with dynamite, right? But what's interesting is these ads were written to get a response, right? I mean, it's help wanted, or we need you, or there's a service that needs to be provided. And, you know, this morning, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about, because we need services provided as well. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be servants. And so our ads this morning will comprise of some things I'll show you here in a little bit. But just like our family, we have needs. And there's some things that have to happen as we continue to grow, as we continue to do life together. Shane is constantly going to be needing men to help serve. And we've got some other places that we need help in women's ministry and women planning ideas. This congregation would not survive without our men and our women. It's important for all of us to be a part of and serve. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're in the middle of a 5-lesson series. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, wrote down lots of stuff. And I admitted to Kelly last week when we were talking, he says, man, I really like this series. I said, yeah, it's funny because I keep reading the book and reading the book and reading the book and reading the book. And the more I progress, and I've got all the way through the end, and I've never found these 5 points that I'm preaching on. Right, it was a summary by somebody else, and there's pieces and parts of them in there, and I'm not quite done with the end, so I'm sure it's near the end. But I just thought it was interesting that I'm preaching these 5 lessons, and I haven't really even found them yet within the actual book's pages. Yet the principles are all there; they really are, and I agree with these principles because they're all biblical. And as we've said all along, we're going to let the Word of God teach us these principles. And so again, we'll take another lesson from God's Word. Principle one, if you'll remember, for a healthy family was warmer through fellowship. We took that from Acts 2, that they devoted themselves to fellowship. Principle two was for a healthy family was deeper through discipleship. And we talked about what it took to be a disciple, somebody that's committed, somebody that's paying attention to the very words of God and following in His footsteps. Last week, we talked about stronger through worship. If you weren't here, it wasn't just about this hour that we spend together. It's about our daily lives. It's about always worshiping God, letting every aspect of our existence be a worship to Him. And then principle four is broader through ministry, that will be more encompassing through all the ministries that we do. And that can be not only here, but in other places. Many of you serve, many of you contribute, many of you do a lot of other things in other places as well as here. And so we'll talk about that as well. That's the beauty of Christianity. It's knowing that we're doing this for a reason, right? It's not like we just show up and go, we'll figure this all out and eventually we'll know why we're doing it. We're doing it for a reason. We're doing it to glorify God. We've talked about that this morning. Jim talked about part of our purpose is to glorify God. But it's about loving others. It's about loving God. It's about serving others and serving God. And it's about saving others. It's all of those things are involved in this idea of being a disciple of Christ. So let's read John 13, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. I'll share a little bit more about John with you in just a sec. But John 13, 3 through 5. Jesus knew, and I'm going to stop really a couple times in here. So I guess I'm looking what you have up there. That's perfect. If you save that there for just a second, Sean, thank you for doing that. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and returning to God. And I think it's interesting, you know, when you start looking at Scripture, you can read it over and over and over again. But this particular verse is just pretty powerful because He's going to follow this word up right after that semicolon is going to be the word so. It's kind of like a therefore. What's the therefore and what's the so why is it there kind of a thing. But Jesus knew, Jesus has knowledge, He understands that the Father has put all things under His power. He's the guy. He's got all this authority, He's got all of this power, and He knows that. He can do anything and everything because He has all the power and all the authority. And He knows where He's come from, so He knows His roots. And He knows where He's going, so He knows His future. And so knowing that, think about this, friend, knowing all of that, look at the next verse. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, wrapped a towel around His waist. And after that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. That's powerful. Knowing He had all the power, all the authority, could do anything. He could get armies to go and represent Him. He could do a thousand things. Think of all the things you might do if you had all power and authority, and that you were going to take over and be king, right? His kingdom was going to be all this power. And yet, knowing where He's from, where He's going, who He is, and what He needs to stand for, He chooses to be a servant. He chooses to do what was necessary, okay, in His kingdom to show us what we need to do in this kingdom, all right, as His subjects. I said a second ago, I love the Gospel of John. Absolutely, out of the two classes that I took at Abilene Christian, Dr. Lightfoot taught the book of Hebrews, the book of John. And it never occurred to me until years later. Those are my two favorite, absolutely favorite books. I learned them from a master teacher. I learned them. He was a great professor. He was a wonderful man. But he taught us so much about these two books. And I love the Gospel of John. And I love, as I teach it, chapter 13, I went back, I looked at my notes. I usually take either two or three or sometimes 4 weeks just for John 13. So for me to talk about John 13 in a few moments, you know, in a sermon on a Sunday morning is going to be a stretch. But one of the questions I asked is this, right, every single time, and this row right here is not allowed to answer because they've been in my class before, but I'm going to ask the question, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Okay. Why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? And I want an answer. As an example, do what? Because their feet were dirty, right? Leaders need to be servants. An example for His people. All of those things are all correct. And they're powerful examples for us. Okay? Somebody else say? Because he loved them. There's all kinds of wonderful examples from that. But my basic example is pretty much what Melody just said. Okay? Their feet were dirty. Think about it for a second. He didn't set that up. He didn't put the basin in there. He didn't wait, you know, and say, nobody wash each other's feet because I've got an important lesson I need to teach you here. He washed their feet because nobody else would. You know, he looks around. Maybe he was thinking somebody else was going to do it, because normally in that culture you would have a servant who would come in, and that servant was the lowest of all servants. And that's who was in charge of washing feet. But nobody washed their feet. It's kind of like having trash on stage. Now, why didn't you pick that up? Well, I told some people, I said, don't pick it up. The people that I thought might pick it up, I was like, don't pick it up, because I want to teach an example. But the true definition of a servant is someone who sees a need and fills it. I mean, honestly, the basic root of servanthood is I see a need, I see something that needs to be done, and I do it. I don't worry about if it's somebody else's job. I don't worry about if it's somebody else's responsibility. I do it because I'm a servant. Jesus saw a need and he filled it. He was a servant. He expects no more, no less from us. Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. First part of verse 25. The student's not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. Right? It's enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. It's the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, and how much more the members of his household. That part of the verse I don't really care about. That's got a whole nother explanation that needs to happen. But it's enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. He's not asking us to be less than him. He's not asking us to be more than him. He's saying, hey, you know what? If you want to be like me, then be a servant. I know that because in John 13, going back, if you look at verse 14, it says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also, or also should wash one another's feet. Now, does that mean that your feet need to be washed this morning? I'm sure some of you may have stinky feet. I doubt it. Most of us probably took showers this morning. They don't need to be washed. That's not even the point. I've done that. We've had times when we've done that with youth group. We've done that in small group. We've done it other times where we washed one another's feet. They do that under the bridge. They wash, and I'm pretty convinced that's because they need to be washed. Right? We see a need and we fill it. But what Jesus is saying is in verse 15, I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, the same principle, verse 16, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And I love verse 17. Now that you know these things, now that you have it in your head, now that you've learned it, now that you've heard me say it, now that you've seen me do it, you'll be blessed if you do them. It's not just about knowing it, it's about doing it. And throughout Scripture, we see that everyone that hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Rain fell, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, but it did not fall, right? Because it had been founded on the rock. So everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, that's what he's saying. Everyone then hears these words of mine and does not do them, it's like a foolish man. And he goes on and tells what happens to that house. So we have that throughout Scripture. It's not just about knowing it, it's about doing it. We have another point in Jesus' ministry when you have a guy named James and a guy named John, right? Two of his apostles, and Mama wants to help out. So Mom's with them. Right, we don't ever have her name. She appears a couple times in Scripture. We don't know her name. It's Zebedee's wife. It's James and John's mother. She comes to Jesus and she said, you know, I'm thinking it would be a really good idea for my boys to sit at your left and your right hand. Because that's the place of honor. That's the place of prestige. That's the place where you're lifted up in that culture. You know, Jesus has a parable where he says, hey, be careful not to go into a banquet and sit at the place of honor because, the host may say, that's not your seat. You know, why don't you go ahead and scoot on over? Instead, he says, sit in the back. And then if that's your place of seat, your place of honor, your seat, he'll come and get you and say, oh, Earl, man, what are you doing sitting back there? No, this is your spot right here. Right. So we understand this is a place of honor and a place of prestige. And she says, I want them to sit there. Jesus says, I don't think you understand what you're asking. Number two, it's not my place. It's my Father's place to give that to you. But I want you to know this much. And in fact, he doesn't just tell James and John and their mother. He says, come on, guys, huddle up. And it's almost like he's like, come on. Okay, come on. Huddle up. Hup. Come on, let's get together. We're going to talk about this. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 20. It says that Jesus called them together. I don't know if they huddled up, but that's what I envision. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, just as is a parable lay, just as I'm going to lay it side by side and let you see it so that you can look at it and exemplify it. He says, just as the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you want a place of honor, then you need to learn how to serve. Because that's what my Father brought me to do. He put all things in power, all things in subjection to me. I can do whatever I want to do, but you know what? I knew what my Father wanted me to do. He wanted me to serve. He wanted me to minister to the people. And that's what I came and that's what I did. So we see a need and we fill it. This word broader through ministry, I looked at the word up broad. You know, got the old broad. Yeah, you're broad. You know, kind of the old 50s, 40s and 50s thing, you know. It was kind of a slang word for woman, right? So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. But I was thinking, okay, it's not broader through ministry. We know that's not the word. But the word was inclusive. I was trying to pick out this idea. How are we going to become stronger? How are we going to become healthier? How are we going to become a better family if we're broader through ministry? It's because it's more inclusive. It's all embracing. Those are the words that are also associated with this word broad. When we learn to serve like Jesus serves, there's many ministries. There's some in Tulsa and Broken Arrow and Jinx and Catoosa and Coweta, and there's some here. And so we'll be more inclusive. The more some of the ministries that we have, we can include more people. We can include not only more people from the outside who are going to be interested in the ministries that we do, but we include more people who are sitting right now listening. That we can say, hey, we want you to be included here. This is a place where we do life together. There's a lot of things that have to happen. We want you to be included and embrace these things. Because each of us are gifted in different ways. It takes the entire body to be inclusive. And two Wednesday nights ago, we talked about the parable of the talents. And talents sometimes looks at, you see that and you go, is it the parable of the abilities? No, it's talent is a measure of money. But the key to that was he gave to some five, some two, and some one. And it says it very clearly, according to their ability. So he gave the one that might have had a little bit more of an ability, he says, well, I'm going to give you five units of wealth because I know you can handle it. And then two to two and one to one, right? According to their ability. So each of us have different abilities. And so the only one who's called wicked in the story is the one who chose not to do anything with his ability. All right. And you say, well, Mike, are you calling me wicked if I don't serve? I'm not calling you anything. I'm just reading what the Bible tells me. Right. That he says to that guy, you chose to play it safe. You chose not to take a chance. You chose to do nothing with the talent, the ability that I gave you. All I asked of you was as I go on this journey, when I come back, to have done something. You could have at least given it to the bankers. I would have probably been fine with that if you'd have said, you know, I was scared I was going to mess up, so at least I did something intelligent instead of doing nothing. You know, and it very clearly says he was thrown out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I've taught the lesson for years. Do something, right? It's a Nike ad. All in up, do it. Just do it, you know. Find something. So where you're serving or where you're not serving needs to be understood and identified is what your talents are good for. Sometimes people say, well, I can't do what you do. Well, I can't do what you do. So that's why we have this huge body. That's why we got a lot of different people that have the ability to do many things. If you wanted me to throw a Christmas party and dress it up and make it cute and wonderful and good, I'd have probably thrown a couple footballs around I don't know, ran a streamer from one end. It would have been much of a party. I don't have that ability. I'm not creative like that. Chris is really creative like that. Karen's really creative. Renee's creative like that. You guys have that ability. You have that talent. So when we have those activities, those of you that say, well, I want to do some of that. I want to help out with that. Then do it. Okay? Tell us. Say, I want help with that part because that's your ability. That's your talent. Some of you guys can serve in worship. You know, we need you to serve in worship. That's what we would love for you to do. Do something. Zig Ziglar. Colby texted me. I didn't realize this. I'm not sure. Is it your sister? Sister-in-law. used to do stuff for Zig Ziglar, right? She got to hang out with him. I love Zig Ziglar. If you don't know that yet, I love Zig Ziglar. He's a great inspiration. He was a person who shaped me without ever meeting him face to face. I went to several of his lectures, heard many of his tapes, have read all of his books. Neat guy, very motivational. Zig Ziglar said, "You're the only person on earth who can use your ability. You. You're the only person on earth who can use your ability." And I sometimes get sad. I don't cry over Zig Ziglar quotes. I really don't. But my brain works so fast. I get ahead of things, and I read that, and I know that the next thing is going to be my little green point that's coming up, and that's what's going to make me cry. But Ziglar is trying to say to us, you're the only person on earth who can use your ability, and so use it. And I know for the longest time that God had given me some abilities to do other things, and I used those things, and they weren't to glorify God, they were to glorify Mike. They were to let Mike do what Mike wanted to do, and for Mike to focus on what Mike was interested in, and Mike looked at Mike's future. And so I had an opportunity to do a lot of really cool things in life, but there's frustration on my part to think, you know, wow, what could I have done when I was younger if I'd have just used my abilities in a better way back then, too? And I love that God has put me where He's put me. I really do. I'm blessed to be at this church. This church family means everything to me right now. Has just built me up and encouraged me, and having friends outside of these walls means a lot to me, and it means a lot to Karen. We love being here. We love doing life with you guys, and it's exciting. It's exciting, but we all have to kind of do our task. 1 Corinthians 3:5, Paul says, "What after all is Apollos?" If you remember, they kind of were arguing about who was more important, and he says, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? We're only servants." But here's the cool part: through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. It's a small little verse. It's an interesting little verse. But, you know, Apollos had some gifts and Paul had some gifts, but they're servants. And they got to do what they did, and they were given a task, and they followed it. They did what they were asked to do. And so that's pretty important stuff. I love this story, Antonio. This guy's name is Antonio. And Antonio wanted to make music. That was his goal. That was his dream. He was like, I want to make music. And so he tried out for what they call the Cremona Boys Choir. But his voice was too high, and his voice was too scratchy, and his voice was just not what they were looking for. And so they didn't pick him. He wasn't chosen. So Antonio was all sad, and he thought, you know what? I'm going to play the violin. That's what I'll do. And so he started playing the violin. And I love what this article said. The neighbors persuaded his parents to make him stop. So I don't know how bad it was, but apparently, I mean, I've heard some violin in my time, and I've heard some bad violin in my time, and there are times when you go, please make it stop, you know. And so Antonio, he didn't have that ability either. He couldn't play the violin. And so his friends kind of made fun of him and said to him, Antonio, you know, you're good at whittling. Why don't you just stick with that? He whittled, right? He's just a whittler. I mean, does anybody whittle? Any whittlers? Any professional whittlers? We don't do that much anymore. Have you noticed that? I mean, I remember years ago, people whittled a lot. So there was not much else to do. But because he was a good whittler, he decided he would be an apprentice to a violin maker. Right now, he got to not only work with wood, he got to carve it and shape it and kind of figure it out. And so he did that, and what started out as kind of a whittling hobby became an apprenticeship, and it became a lifestyle. He became a violin maker. He left over 1,500 violins. Antonio Stradivarius. Now, if you don't know anything about Stradivarius, is the last one just sold for over $46 million. He still makes music, right? That was his goal. You cry over violin makers. Think about the fact that he didn't have the gifts that he wanted. He didn't get to do. What he thought he would do, right? And yet, when he looks back years later, see, I wouldn't even be crying at all if it wasn't for our small group that we had there, right? And talking about what I wanted to do. Think about in your life, what did you really want to do? And is that what you're really doing? Well, it wasn't preaching. That's not what I thought that I was doing at the age of 53 years old, but I'm so thankful God allowed me to come this path and make this incredible. I get to stand in front of people every single Sunday and talk about the amazing Word of God and how God has got so much more for us. We live on this earth for this amount of time, and I you love Francis Chan. He has this amazing illustration that he uses a rope and he ties, you know, a little section of that rope. And he says, why do we focus on this little section of rope when we have this entire existence ahead of us? But we do. But we do. You know, a competitive person, somebody that wants to do things and compete and be a part of, you know, the success of this world, you just got to step back sometimes and go, but what would that do? You know, but what abilities you have and what talents you have, you can still use for God. You know, I love throwing a bowling ball. It's fun. It's great. It's good. Right? I thought I was going to do that for a living. And I did, and I got to do it for a living for a little while. All right? But that wasn't the most important thing. And I get that. And my tears are not like, boy, I regret that I didn't get to keep doing that. Me and God had a good conversation. We did. I said, hey, you give me this. You know, it was, let's make a deal, God. You take the box that Carol Merrill's standing by, or you can have the curtain. I didn't make that deal. I told God, I said, you give me a couple of years to bowl full time and just bowl, 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 and let me see if I could do it and be successful at it. And if I can, then I'll be happy and I'll move on. And then you bless me and you use me where you want. That was my deal with God. And so that's what I got to do. And I still get to bowl and still have a blast. And I still have great friends. And it's good to see Kimmy. That are bowlers. But it's not just about bowl. It's about friendships. It's about doing life together. Not just here, but everywhere. And that's so very important. It's about serving God. Using your abilities. Antonio couldn't sing or play, but he could whittle. And he used that to create unbelievable repercussions for decades and years to come. You never know what small gift of love, a gift of service, a kindness done will affect and ripple years and years and years later. I had an illustration. I almost used it, but it was talking about, and I'm going to use it anyway, and we're past time, but I'm going to keep talking because it was talking about some of the famous old-timers years ago that included Billy Graham and Billy Sunday and some of these old-time preachers and evangelists, and how one converted and one was sitting and one converted, and just a kind of a rippling effect that some of their preaching and some of their seed planting brought about some incredible results, including, you know, Billy Graham and some of the things that Billy Graham's been able to do, and how Billy Graham influenced, and how those people influenced. And I want to say that I get a chance to influence you guys from preaching through the Word, but how much more do we get to do every single day? And I want to encourage you, just think yourself through that kindness to a cashier that may be having a bad day. You know, doing something really sweet and kind to your garbage, for your garbage man, or your mailman, or your mailwoman, or whoever. Those things are so very important. Are we using our abilities to God? Look at 1 John 4, 8-11. This is our concluding verse for today, all right? I love this. Above all, I've got a different version, but that's okay. I want to read it out of mine, but you can kind of follow along. Above all, love each other deeply. Okay? Love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I mean, is it getting any plainer than that? Use whatever gift it is. Hey, if you're a great baseball player, use your gift to serve others through baseball. You know, if you're a good accountant, then use your gift to serve others through accounting. You know, but still serve. You know, you fill in the blank. What do you do? Then use that somehow. You know, make a difference. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. And I love this. In its various forms. We're not all the same. We're all being given different gifts, different forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. It's through our serving. It's our offering hospitality. It's loving others deeply. It's caring. It's serving. It's doing those things in various forms, in various ways. Do all the things God's given to you. And yet, by serving, by loving, by offering hospitality, by being patient, by being kind, by doing all of those things, God gets the glory. To Him be the glory, the power forever. Amen. So Open Door will be a stronger, healthier congregation through the gifts that God has provided to each one of us. I can't answer for you. You're the only one that can use your gifts, Zig would say. Right? You're the only one that can use your abilities. But through these various ministries, all over the place, but especially the elders have provided for us to participate in. I think that's cool. I love, we call this a worship service. Right? And one guy wrote this. He said, hey, close your worship service sometime with this. Our worship has concluded. Now let's begin our service. All right? I thought that was pretty good. That was really good, wasn't it? All right. So, you say, well, Mike, do I have an action step? Yeah, I got you an action step. This is, excuse me, I'm going to wipe my nose and be gross. All right? Master list of all things. All right? What we tried to accomplish, we have basically five pages of stuff. All right? This is all that we do at Open Door. I sat down and I sent it to the elders and we added, subtracted, tried to pay attention. It's things that we do here. All right? And right here it says present, and then over here it says future. But these are things that we would love for you to help us with. All right? If you're looking for, we've got a lot of new members, we've got a lot of new faces and a lot of new folks. And if you're like, oh, I want to help, but I just don't know where I want to help, then go through this list and write your name in the list. And if there's a coordinator like Shane, will use you in the worship. And I know he's new to that. And Tim had passed that torch. And he's doing different things now with the website and things like that. If you have ability on the website, if you have an ability to be creative, whatever, find me. I'll make a space for this out in the foyer. But if you want to write some things down, and if you say, you know what, we don't do this, and I want to do this. I love how many times people come to a minister and say, hey, I see a need. You need to fill it. Right? And my response as a minister has always been, that is a great idea. Joe, will you do it? If you come up with the idea, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to make you do it. But that means you have a passion for it. You have an excitement for it. And that's who we need to be involved in these ministries. Because if it's exciting to you, then you're going to be more invested in it. And so that's what we're going to do. So I have this. If you want to come find me or find it after services are over, then you can. And we'll have that there. But right now we're going to sing a song, and it's a song of invitation. It just simply means if you want to place a membership here, you can come forward and let us know. If you have a prayer request, please let us come and pray or pray with you and let us know about that. You don't have to come down to do that necessarily, but just let us know if there's a need. We've used this for years as an invitation song. It's an invitation to you from God that if we can meet a need, we would love to do that. So if you're interested in knowing more about Jesus, if you're interested in becoming a child of His, then you can do that too while we stand and while we sing.